Mr. Bernie, not here. Mr. Dombrowski.
Here.
Mr. Lucchese, not here. Ms. O'Brien.
Here.
Mr. Rule.
Here.
Mr. Swindoll, not here. Chairman Martin.
Here.
We have a quorum.
So the first thing on the agenda this evening is to approve the minutes from the meeting we had on January 11th. Has everyone had an opportunity to review these minutes? Somebody want to make a motion to approve them?
I move to approve.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
All right. Move to second. And any discussion about these minutes? Okay, you want to call the roll?
Mr. Rule.
Approved.
Ms. O'Brien.
Yes.
Mr. Dombrowski.
Yes.
Chairman Martin.
Yes. Okay. Next matter on the agenda is a variation request for 631 Edgewood. Everyone who's going to address the board tonight needs to sign up. We're not overwhelmed by participants this evening, so it looks like everyone's signed up. Everyone who has signed up to address us, please stand so you can get sworn in by the secretary.
Please stand. To those who will testify at the public hearing, you are reminded that the River Forest Village Code makes it unlawful for any person to knowingly make a false statement of material fact to the village in connection with any application, report, affidavit, oath, certification, or attestation. Violations are punishable as a petty offense with a fine. Please raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that you will give true testimony relative to the matter before this Zoning Board of Appeals?
I do.
Okay. All right, so the way we proceed is to ask the applicant to make a presentation to us, and then we will ask if there's anyone in the audience who wants to participate, and then we will permit the applicant to address us again, and then we'll close the public portion of the meeting and discuss it and make a recommendation to the trustees. So if you please introduce yourself and make your presentation, that would be fine.
I'm Maureen Houston. I own the property at 631 Edgewood Place in River Forest. I'm looking for a variation so that I can build an unattached two-car garage. The original structure that was on the property was actually a horse barn. Wasn't large enough to accommodate a single car. It collapsed in a snowstorm. At that time, we sought a permit to reconstruct a single car garage on site, and it was not allowed because it violates several setback issues and is below power lines, so not allowed to. So we then I've consulted three different architects and really wanted to try to find a way to put the garage where it was. There's no way to do it because of the existence of the house. A car can't make the curve big enough to get into a garage, and River Forest requires a minimum of a two-car enclosed parking structure. So I wanted to put it in the rear of the yard. However, I learned we have main supply ComEd lines that span 101 feet across the rear of our yard, and you are not allowed to put any structure within 12 feet vertically of those lines. They are only about 13 feet off the ground, and you cannot put it for 5 feet on either side of where those lines are. So one of the diagrams there, I think it's 1A alt or 1A1A, depicts the swath under which we aren't allowed to build a garage. I think it's the one that you had. It's got a blue stripe. The blue stripe is sort of shows the power line. I also, in your packet, the eight standards, on the front page I have just sort of a rough sketch of a Google Earth illustration highlighting where that power line goes. So unfortunately, the power line eliminates a garage anywhere in the rear of my yard. I did work with ComEd for several months to see if I could get them to add a pole and have those power lines more closely follow the property lines, and they declined to do so. So let's see. So there are 8 standards that need to be addressed for a zoning variation, first being physical surrounding shape or topographic conditions of the property bring a specific hardship. This is a unique, irregular, 7-sided property. The position of the existing house eliminates the possibility of putting the garage to the north where it originally stood. Even if I were to do a tandem, a front and back garage, the minimum required width for building it is 14 feet, and I have 13 feet to the property line, so can't fit it there. I just spoke about the power lines. That eliminates a huge chunk of my property, so the only existing remaining yard would be to the southwest of the house, our largest yard. It's not where I wanted to put a garage, but it's the only place where it could fit. We do have 2 large trees. You can see in the photograph on the first page of my response, 2 large trees in the front of the yard that when I first acquired this property, I think we had 10 or 12 mature trees. We've lost most of them to storm damage, emerald, ash, borer, or to Dutch elm. So we have 3 remaining trees on the property, and I was trying to preserve them if possible. The proposal that I suggested would preserve these trees. The driveway would go around the trees, and that's actually part of why, for the curve that a car can make, why the garage needs to be closer to the southeast, to the southeast, southwest property line.
Southwest,
southwest property line. Secondly, the physical condition didn't result from any action or person.
If you want to address these conditions, that's fine, but you don't have to read.
Okay. Well, I'm trying not to read. You suggested sort of skimming down them, so it is not applicable to any other property. We have a very unique shaped lot. There's none other like it in the village. It's not for our economic gain. In fact, we are required to have an enclosed 2-car parking structure, which we don't have. That's what we're trying to achieve. It would not be detrimental to the public welfare. I don't believe it would be injurious to neighboring properties. In fact, I think it would enhance, because currently our cars are parked in plain view of the street. There is no other place we can put them. And we would be able to enclose them. And part of our plan is also to construct a patio between the garage and the house to improve the street view and also just the use of the property. It would not impair light or air to adjacent property because it would be adjacent to the north east side of the house. So because this part of Edgewood is on an angle, actually the cardinal points of the compass are the corners of the house. So on the second page of the standards, or of my standard, or third page of my standards response, I've got a photograph of the neighbor's drive and where I wanted to put the drive. So the other thing is, if you look at the survey, it was a topographic survey, and you'll see that at almost every point along the property line, there is a 2-foot discrepancy. The neighbor's property is 2 feet higher than our property, so it would not cause any issues with flooding or drainage. In fact, our property collects water from the 5 adjacent properties near us. And in fact, I, in talking to Cliff after I turned the application in, I was mentioning one of the other reasons why we cannot put the garage in the rear. That's because I have a significant flooding problem. So I brought a photograph of my yard during a rainstorm, and also then I wrote on the, I have a little small copy of the plat of survey about where that view is, and that shows you that the only remaining place I can possibly put a garage is in that side yard. So is that all right if I pass these out to you? So, actually, at the same time that I was contacting architects for this project, I contacted a couple of landscape and drainage companies. Getting consults, that's why I had the topographic survey done. I was trying to find out a way to address this significant flooding problem. You can't see from the photograph, but my yard routinely collects 14 to 18 inches of water, and it will stand there for days. So I'd consulted with Cliff early in the proceeding. It's not reasonable to try to add 2 feet of depth to my entire yard that would resolve my flooding problem, but would increase problems for surrounding properties. So I've consulted with a company who unfortunately did not complete the work by fall as they were supposed to. So they're going to finish in the spring. So I don't have their formal proposal, but what we've discussed is I already have 4 French drains in the yard. Adding a much larger drainage pit with underground pump out to the street or to the woods across the street, with a pump built into the garage to facilitate drainage. So I would not collect water and could continue to drain the water that the neighbors drain into my yard. But because of that significant flooding, it makes that rear area very difficult to build on unless I were to elevate it, and then I'm going to create a flood problem for neighbors. So this application is the result of a lot of time and consideration and a lot of experts. Truly, it's the last place I wanted to put the garage, but unfortunately, it seems to be the only place unless someone has influence with ComEd and can get them to move those lines. Then we'd be thrilled to have it in the back of the yard. It's where I'd really like it. But are there any questions? Is there anything? Like you said, I don't want to read through the entire application, but is there anything?
So one of the issues is the setback out of the garage. And it's on the diagonal, so the setback issue is really primarily for the eave at the corner.
It's just one corner, right?
But for the structure itself, the little line across where it ought to be, and it's actually pretty substantial, it cuts through the whole structure.
Right.
Clearly, you have an existing porch, and you wouldn't...
The porch is going. It's on there because it exists right now, but the porch will come off. So that
actually helps a little bit with my question. And that is having a patio is nice, it would be appealing.
It's required even because we have 2 exterior doors.
Let me complete my question. So if the porch is being removed and you're intending to have a new patio there, which is required for egress, to what extent is there a possibility to shift the building somewhat further towards the house to minimize the amount of setback?
So I wanted it closer to the house, but in order to do that, we would have to remove the trees, the two large trees, because if you look at the angle of the driveway, They have some program that can calculate a distance that a car can turn and how tight they can make turns. So as is, the parking space closest to the house is going to require sort of a sharp S curve to get in. And so the garage, if it's over further, that space would not be accessible unless we just, you went back and forth and back and forth and back and forth with the car. So it was an effort to preserve the trees.
That's a good answer. And I see that,
When did your previous garage and stable collapse?
It collapsed. I mean, it's been several years. It was actually before Cliff's time. So we've parked outside. I mean, it's just had exterior parking for all these years. I actually moved from the house next door. I lived there for 22 years and then moved into this house just 2 years ago. And at that time, started the process of trying to build a garage again. The application.
Do you know what the size for a tandem garage could be, a two-car tandem?
I know that the minimum width is 14 feet, and we only have 13, and that means the wall of the garage would be on the property line. And it would be too narrow for code, I guess. I mean, I consulted with three architects who all said it was not possible. And for that same curve, the way a car turns reason, I can't fit it behind the house on that side because of the rear corner of the house.
And the encroach on the hydro lines.
And the power lines, yeah. The power line, we can't even, that was part of why they wouldn't let it put it back where it was, even on the existing pad, because it's below those high, those supply lines.
Cliff, it's my recollection that a number of years ago there was an announcement that the village and Edison had made some kind of agreement that Edison was going to, you know, bury some of these power lines, you know, a little each year. Do you know anything about that?
They
I think that's before my time. I've only I heard tell of that, but I've never known of any progress on any blocks in that department.
ComEd addressed that possibility with me and said that was one possibility, but it would be at my expense and that I would have to do it for six properties. And they estimated the cost at about $40,000 per property. I have no idea whether that's accurate, but that was what I had the field rep come out, and I had him bring out a supervisor once, you know, to see if they could just add one pole, we could more closely follow the property line, and then I could put the garage in the back. But they don't want to do that. They said if I don't want the lines overhead, I can bury them, but it would be my expense for every property that those lines serve, which is more than I have to spend on the whole garage. So,
do you think, Cliff, anything could be accomplished if the village went to Edison instead of the homeowner and tried to get this overhead line relocated, as she talked about, with a different pole to move it somewhat?
Certainly we're willing to try. I can tell you that there's a ComEd line inside of one of our village facilities that we want to move out for safety reasons. And we can do it. ComEd has agreed to allow us to do it, but the village is required to pay a substantial fee to do that. So it's even at the village's cost to move their line out of one of our physical buildings.
And, you know, they're arguing that it's an easement, that when I bought the property, I bought it with an easement. Actually, I don't think that's true because this property has not been sold since the late 20s or early 1930s. So I believe it preceded those lines. However, a specific refusal to allow them to put the lines there. I don't know when the lines were put up, but it was after that time. So they said there's a possibility. However, in order to discuss it further, they said I would have to retain an attorney to discuss it with their attorney, and I would have to file a case. And any of the possibilities with ComEd or exceed my budget to pursue the whole garage. So it's back to the fact that the property's out of compliance because it doesn't have a parking structure. So.
Has the village cited you because it doesn't have a parking structure?
No, but Cliff advised me that we were non-compliant for not having a structure. And so, because it is, code does require a single-family resident to have a two-car enclosed parking.
Cliff or Mike, do you know, has the village ever filed any kind of suit because of, against the property owner because of that non-compliance?
I'm not aware of it.
I'm not aware of any.
We don't make a habit of going door to door looking for zoning violations in that vein. But when a project comes up, for instance, when a homeowner wants to demolish an existing garage, we won't give them a permit for demolition of an existing garage unless there is a plan to replace it so that it doesn't create a new zoning violation. Indeed, there are instances where, existing garage buildings do collapse under the snow and that. And, you know, if we notice at all, you know, we make a note of it, but we don't pursue it as a violation where we would be seeking to prosecute the owner for not being in compliance.
Because there are properties that have one car attached, Georgian. I mean,
yes, there
and
are.
They park the other on the driveway. Or, I mean,
yes,
not their fault.
Yes.
And if this owner or any other owner were to sell her house, you know, that's not going to be raised as an objection to prevent the issuance of the river four stamps, is it?
No.
Was your structure there when you moved in?
When I moved in, no. But when I acquired the house, yes. No. When I acquired it, it was. It was there. I didn't move in. I have owned the house for much longer than I lived in it.
Okay.
Okay, any other questions for the applicant? All right, we'll call on the audience members and then you'll have an opportunity to address this again.
Katie Horan.
Yes. You'd like to address it, whatever order you want to do is fine.
Okay.
Can we both stand there? Is that okay? Or?
Sure.
Okay.
Just identify yourselves. And
okay.
Speak in the microphone so we can record you.
Good evening. My name is Kevin Horan. My wife, Katie. First, I want to thank everybody for coming out in inclement weather. I know that you guys are volunteers, and I will try not to take up too much of your time. I submitted a letter, which I know is within the agenda packet for tonight. I brought copies for everybody in case you hadn't read it. I won't belabor the members here with my running through the standards here, but just to highlight a few of them.
Let's see where
We live at 623 Edgewood, which is the property immediately adjacent to Miss Houston's home. And before I begin, I'd like to reiterate something I raised in my letter and to raise it here in person. Our intention here is not to create an issue or to alienate our neighbors or to be bad neighbors. As I saw in the packet for tonight's meeting, and as Miss Houston submitted to the board, there are three or four adjacent property owners who have signed off on Miss Houston's plan. However, we are the home that's most affected by this, and that's why we raised our objection. We would love to accommodate, you know, any request of our neighbors, but in this particular instance, the construction of what amounts to a two-story garage in the front portion of the property immediately adjacent to our driveway creates a few issues for us that go much deeper than, you know, the inconvenience of construction or noise pollution or anything like that. It's a safety issue for us, and in terms of our use and enjoyment of our home as well. One of the standards that you have to meet, as Ms. Houston noted was that the hardship, I think it's the first standard, hardship versus inconvenience. And I think one of the key points that Ms. Houston brings up, which to us represents an inconvenience rather than a hardship, is that the variation that's sought is to build a two-car garage rather than a one-car garage, and to build it on the side that's adjacent to our property, where she has most of the space with which to work, versus where there is an existing curb cut. We feel that these are inconveniences rather than hardships that are unique to this particular parcel of property. With that in mind, that second standard, the uniqueness of the property versus other properties, is, I think, inaccurate, because while Ms. Houston's lot is seven-sided, this particular stretch of Edgewood, if anybody's ever driven down it, has lots of irregular lots, and the curve that we both live on, we get a narrow slice of a pie, basically. So in terms of the irregularity of the lot and the hardships that are presented by it, those are known quantities when you purchase or acquire a property in that particular area. And I guess the thing that gives us pause in terms of the proposal that was submitted to the board, which we didn't see the full proposal that's on the website right now, we saw a two-pager, is that it's a structure that's going to rise 18 feet above grade, and the only thing that we have to compare it to is our own garage, which rises 18 feet above grade. As Ms. Houston noted, she acquired the property and moved into it later. We bought our house from Ms. Houston, who used to live next door, or who used to live in our home. So our own garage is instructive to us, at least, in terms of what to expect on this front third of the property that's so prominent toward the street. And I can tell you from experience that having a garage that rises that high on such a small lot is a severe impingement to light. Sunlight is really at a premium in that section of town. There's a lot of old growth trees. That's part of the reason that we chose that part of town. That's what makes it so appealing. I can tell you that it's harder than heck to get grass to grow back there, because the sun is just essentially blocked by my garage. And I fear that is the type of garage that will be in this front portion of the lot, which will not only impede light to our lot and our front lawn, but our driveway. My wife and I have two young boys who are going to be growing up. It's, as Ms. Houston noted, it's a blind curve kind of down that stretch of Edgewood, and our driveway, even backing out today, it's tough to see where you're going. Adding a two-car garage so prominently towards the street, I think, is going to create a safety issue for my kids, and so that's really something that my wife and I, that's the most important thing we're doing as parents, is keeping these kids safe. So that's really our concern. Like I said, the variation that's sought, we believe, is more of an inconvenience than a hardship, and part and parcel of that is that I myself called ComEdison to ask, you know, how much would it cost to bury lines, and I asked them for a quote for 40 feet, 100 feet, and 200 feet. And I got figures going from almost $3,000 to, I think, $9,000 for 200 feet. Now, as Ms. Houston had noted, these are our main lines versus home service lines, but I think the issue there is still is similar, in that if you want to have a garage and it's going to impede upon ComEd's easement, whether or not that runs with the land or whether it doesn't, that should be at the owner's expense. If you want to situate a garage in a place that's outside the zoning, if you want to situate a garage that runs afoul of ComEd, there is a way to do that. It is inconvenient, but it's possible. In terms of the flooding issue that Ms. Houston raised in that section of her backyard, I think, you know, as we've stated, they're irregular lots. It's a grading issue, but as you may be able to see from the pictures presented, the flooding and the pooling in the backyard is caused, I think, primarily by the railroad ties, which are bordering certain possessions that have been in the backyard. Ms. Houston has tried to remediate that flooding, most recently, in this instance, by digging a trench, stretching from that pool out to the front, and in the process, running down our property line and essentially ruining a lot of the shrubs that we had. I'm sensitive to the fact that there's flooding issues. I've lived here my whole life. My wife has lived here my whole life. We've had some horrendous floods in our childhood homes, and it's something that I wouldn't want to wish on anyone. But I do think, in terms of the construction of this particular property, the grading issue as well, next to our driveway, is going to create a flooding issue. That's also a matter of that's going to cause us hardship down the road. I do note for the board that in terms of the setback, what I was explained was that it was going to be 3 feet from the property line, and that the eave of the proposed structure would be 2 feet from the property line. And in going through the more detailed application that I found on the website tonight, I found that it's actually going to be 1 feet, 1 foot from one of the corners will be 1 foot from the property line. So it's even further of an impingement. In terms of where the structure would be, I took pictures just recently as of today, which I'll tender to the board.
That's our driveway to the
right and Ms. Houston's property to the left, and essentially that blank space that you see between where the southwesterly wall of her home is to our driveway would be impeded by, or would be filled up by this proposed garage. The other photos, as you can see, are what would be the view from our home straight through Miss Houston's backyard. There are other garages in the adjoining parcels of property that are more modest. Some of them are not two-car garages. Some of them are just one-car garages, and none of them, I don't think, maybe save one, is up to that 18-foot maximum. So in terms of, again, what we think is an inconvenience versus a hardship here is that the variance requested is for Ms. Houston's preferred garage to her size and to her scope and to her preference, but not one that would be consistent with the existing curb cut or consistent with the zoning throughout the village. As we raised in our letter, I'm unaware of any other lot in River Forest that has a two-car garage detached, so prominently placed close to the street. There's plenty of two-story garages. There's plenty of monster garages in town. I passed a few of them today, but those are in the rear third of the property. And I think in terms of seeking a variance, seeking to have a preferred garage, it can be accomplished in the rear third of the parcel of property. It would be inconvenient, and for that I sympathize. However, I don't think it's a hardship that's unique to the property, that was not known at the time of the property's acquisition. And as I said, in terms of what we can expect from this structure, the precedent or the instruction that I get is my own garage, because it's a garage that was built by Ms. Houston when she owned my home. And I think having something to that size and that scope would create not only a hardship for us, but also a safety issue. Katie, do you have any thoughts?
No, I think I would just add to it in terms of more of a question, and maybe this point was already made. If we're talking about variations, maybe suggesting variations here that make more sense for the uniqueness of the property at 631, given that, perhaps it would make more sense that a single car garage did exist or an attached garage did exist there. So those would just be questions, I guess, I would end with.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
You want me to stay?
I guess the question I had about, we're always concerned about sun and things. Basically, the sun here comes from the south.
That was my question.
And if the sun comes from the south, how is it the building on the north of your of the north of your property? How is the sun going to be diminished or
by the construction of that garage. How's that going to impact your property?
Well, the sun, and not to sound too flip, but rising and setting from the east to the west, it's not exactly north of our property, if that makes sense, because of that curve.
Right.
So if you take, so go ahead.
So I do this kind of solar analysis.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the wood shadow, I looked at it and I did a quick shadow study, and it would shadow part of your driveway.
Okay.
That's all.
Okay, is that?
In the afternoon in the west, it would shadow her back here.
Okay.
But in the morning, it would shadow you the front part of your driveway for a couple of hours.
In terms of the sun coming east to west, okay. I haven't done a solar analysis, so I will defer to your judgment on that.
I didn't do an analysis, but I did take a look at the cardinal points and figure out where it would fall.
Okay. I think what I would add to that in terms of sun and plant growth and all of that stuff, apart from just the fact that you would have direct sunlight impeded, if even for a minimal amount of time, having a structure that high next to both our house would essentially shadow the driveway no matter where you're at. I mean, it's... Okay.
So, I don't...
Okay, I got no other questions for you right now. Thank you for coming here this evening. Okay, there's nobody else here that wants to speak, right? So, Ms. Houston, if you'd like to address us again, that would
just
be fine.
I will just address specific points. To respond to your issue about the sun, I lived in that house for 22 years, and I can say the sun never hits that side of the house, never has. I do appreciate your point about the garage. Actually, I built the garage at 623 Edgewood, and it is a two-story garage. And what I want to build is a one-story garage with a gabled roof. And the 18 feet is from the street elevation, which is lower than where the garage would sit. So it actually, I think it's actually 15 feet from the ground, I think, to the top of the garage. The diagram shows 18 because, again, if you look at the topographic survey, the yard elevates as it goes back, and so it's built on a higher part of the yard, but it would be just a single story garage with just rafters and a gabled roof. The reason we did gabled and not a lower flat was to try to match the architectural flavor of the house. The house is on the It's considered a significant property. It was built by Robert S. Spencer in 1919, rather. And so what we were trying to do was match some of the architectural features and have it blend in and not look like, like we just stuffed a garage in there. So in terms of the two-car versus one-car, I did ask for a one-car, and code, I was instructed by Mr. Raditz, they would not issue a permit for a one-car garage, that it has to be a two-car enclosure. In terms of light, I think I already said sun doesn't hit that side of the house. And it would be, because our, not only was that elevation based on the street, which is 3 feet lower from that point, but also if you look at the survey, their property is also 2 feet higher. At the fence, you can see the dirt and the rock of the foundation from their driveway through the chain link fence. So there's a significant discrepancy in the heights of the property. With ComEd, bearing a service drop, a single family line, is considerably less expensive than the main line. It's not the same kind of proposition. Unfortunately, it's not, our service drop is not the issue. It's the main line that serves all of the properties to the south, all the way down Edgewood. So it would be a, ComEd said they didn't want to do it. In terms of the flooding and the grading, the railroad ties have nothing to do with the flooding. Actually, that used to enclose a play yard. When the kids were smaller, we had a swing set and wood chips in there, but actually the water flows from a property behind us into our yard and from adjoining properties.
And I'd like to ask a question, because on this one here where you're showing the two driveways,
yes,
I can see pretty clearly that it looks to me like there used to be a one-point that's a streamway probably prior to the house being built there.
It was an alleyway.
There was an alleyway, but that whole area is quite a bit lower.
It is.
And from your backyard, you have water coming from the building, the structures, the properties behind you.
Yes.
It comes into your backyard. It's not really able to drain.
Correct. And because at the fence line in that photograph, the front yard fence is actually higher by a couple feet. So the water sits back there like a bowl, and that's why I dug that trench to try to get the water through and to relieve some of that.
The thing I wanted to raise here is that placing the garage in that particular position, although there are a bunch of other reasons that it would make sense, it's going to exacerbate the water retention problem in the back unless you're addressing it in a different way.
And unfortunately, this was the landscaping company that I wanted to have finished by fall, and they just didn't get it done. Part of the plan was to put in, what do they call it? Like the French drain, the sort of the drainage thing that would help collect the water, and then underground drainage that would go through the garage. And one of the suggestions to ensure that it would drain would be to actually put a pump in the garage, you know, as part of the foundation, and then to pump it, pump it out to the front, to a bubbler pot, or...
What's River Forest's regulation about discharging water into the storm sewer? Have we decided that that's to be disconnected?
Mm-hmm.
Because some municipalities it's still permitted, but I do this kind of work. So I've been working in Will Matt and Kenilworth and doing like serious backyards with 2 feet of conduit and putting systems in to deal with this. And also in Will Matt, you can't add it to the storm sewer. You have to dispose of it on your own property. So you have to put in these big gravel retention beds, and then it soaks into that. So is that similar here?
It's similar. For many years before I came here, there have been ordinances to disconnect downspouts from the village sewer system, which largely still is a combined sewer system. They've only, in the last 2 years, have started to build a storm sewer system, which is probably many decades from completion for the entire village. It's grading and drainage issues are dealt with through the grading the grading plan ordinance, and each case is evaluated separately by the village engineer.
And so the discharge point of any system that you were to have a landscape put in, does that get covered by you?
It would be by the village engineer.
By the village engineer, so he would determine where it was permissible to.
Correct.
Okay. We
is that's got a, to me. I'm looking at the lay of the land here.
Right.
Addressing it and addressing the structure can't be really done without.
We already have four of those gravel pits on the property, and they're still overwhelmed. And actually, we did it next door as well. And when we had to disconnect the downspouts, we put in bubbler pots in the front lawn, so the water goes forward and it comes out in the lawn. So we would, you know, attempt something similar.
But if the ground is saturated, it doesn't matter how many holes you have in the ground.
Correct. Right. It's just, and the problem is, it's not just our rainwater. We're collecting from at least four surrounding properties. So that is an issue. In terms of neighbors' garages, actually, all of our neighbors do have two-car garages. They're small, and what we're building is not much bigger than minimum. I would have loved to have a two-and-a-half or three-car garage, but we just don't really have space for that. And then in terms of the visibility, looking at that photograph, I can see why you think it was all the way at the front. It actually is set behind the front of both properties. So both houses would stick out further. The garage is actually set back, so it's aligned to the rear corner of the house. And I think the front of it is somewhere maybe around the chimney. It is not, it's not all the way up at the front of the street there, because even if I wanted to do that, we cannot make that curve. There's just not enough room unless I take the trees out, which I am very, very reluctant to do. We have only, like I said, 3 mature trees left on that property, and I'm trying to preserve them. So I think
there's no question about this proposed garage violating the, you know, the setback from the front property line.
It's behind the line of the existing house.
Okay.
So
yeah, it's 33 feet from the sidewalk.
As long as it's behind the line of the existing house for the property, it doesn't affect the front yard setbacks as they're calculated.
No, they're just
so they're minor. There's no request for variation for the front yard setback.
Correct.
Okay. And just by the way, I had to have a variation to build that garage as well, because it's, again, it was just a matter of space and trying and preserving that big oak tree. So we had to be a little close to the rear property line, but that is much bigger than what I want to build.
All right, anything else you want to tell us? All right, thank you for coming this evening. So we'll close the public portion of the meeting, and the board will discuss this and decide what we want to do.
It doesn't mean you have to leave. It just means that there's not going to be any more public comment.
Yeah. Unless we can ask you questions, but that's all.
I just wanted to ask Cliff, so there's no way for a one-car garage to be built. It's just not going to happen.
Well, they would have to come and ask for a variation to have a one-car garage instead of having a two-car garage.
Okay.
Well, I guess before I'm convinced that there's a hardship that we ought to act on, I think that, you know, I would like some additional information. I don't know about you guys, but I would like to find out from somebody other than the applicant and the neighbor about ComEdison, and, you know, what they are willing to do or what they're not willing to do or what the estimated cost may be. Because I think that would be information I would like to have. And I'd like to follow up on Mike's initial questioning about the location of the garage. And, you know, is by constructing this new patio, and if they remove the existing patio, you know, it's the garage appears to be 12 or 13 feet from the side of the house, the edge of the house. And you know, could the garage be moved? I'm going to say north is probably northeast is what the actual direction is, and still provide a patio that gives them the egress that they want from the house, and you know, how that might be, the ability to enter off Edgewood and to access, get into the garage, you know, might be impacted by moving the garage. I mean, to me, these are more technical or more engineering questions than I'm willing to take the word of an applicant, really.
Right. If I could just say, if you intend to solicit more information and bring that into the record, then should leave the public hearing open. So
we'll reopen it if we decide to do that.
Okay. Well, you should reopen it if you decide to do that tonight and then continue
it. Right.
Okay.
I sort of have a similar comment. I mean, I can't really judge by eye here whether when you pull out of this garage there is a sufficient turning radius to be able to get a car. car out. I suspect that if you limited yourself to a smaller car in the Northeast Bay, a larger car in Weather Bay, you might be able to get away with it. I don't know if it makes any sense to ask the consultant we use for parking garages from Concordia to take a look at this. It's expensive along from that way. But eyeballing it, my guess is that if you had an Austin Mini in the one bay and a full-size car in the other bay, you could get away with having that structure sufficiently farther away.
I think it's not fair to require the owner to have an Austin Mini or Mini Cooper or something like that. I think that I would like to have somebody be able to tell us, could you move a full size car or a Jeep? I think you got a Jeep. You got some kind of SUV that I've seen parked there over the weekend. I appreciate your enthusiasm, but some of these are technical measurements or turning radiuses and things.
It was calculated.
Well, why didn't you tell us that? Why didn't you tell us that? Why are we sitting here? Why are we sitting here talking about an 18 foot tall garage, and now you tell us it's only 15 feet because the other 3 feet are coming off the?
I was saying 18 is from the street, right. Not the actual height of the structure.
I understand, but
the location was calculated on the turning radius of a mid-sized car, full-size car.
You didn't tell us that. You didn't tell us that. Okay.
I thought I did early on when he asked why I couldn't be further over.
If you did, I didn't hear it. So,
I heard something like that, but I didn't hear that it calculated by the person.
Yeah, with some program that calculates radius. That's why I can't be further over as far as it could go.
But we might need to determine that.
So those are my thoughts. You guys don't have to agree with it, but that's.
I don't know. Tandem garage is not ideal, but is there any way a tandem garage could be built where the old garage was with that curb cut? Because next door is the neighbor's driveway, so you may need a variance to go that way with your eaves or whatever.
That question about whether it is in fact between that to do a tandem and not encroaching on power lines, you'd be fairly far forward, and is the distance between the side of the house and that property line sufficient for width?
Well, they park two cars there now. They park two cars there now.
Right. Without a structure.
Without a structure.
Without a structure. So if you put a structure in, and the minimum width of the structure is going to be 4 feet.
No, but Tag is talking about a tandem.
Right.
So if two cars fit there now, they're going to fit there after a tandem garage is built, aren't they?
But the building to house the cars is wider than the cars.
Right.
And so if the minimum width of that building is going to be 14 feet, and there's only 13 physical feet.
Right.
You could put a car within 13 feet without it. But if the building structure then is larger.
We're talking about different dimensions. Right. I'm talking about the length of it.
Yeah, the length I don't think is an issue at all.
You're talking about
the
width.
I'm talking about
the width
from the side of the house to the property line.
Right. But we don't know if it's possible to do that.
I mean, I Googled it just because I didn't know, and it said standard two car tandem could be 13 by 38. They recommend 14 feet wide, but 13, you can open your doors. So 13, and this one topographical one says it's 14.02. I mean, if I'm reading that correctly there.
And it could be attached.
Yeah.
So there are some other options that have to be looked at.
Right.
So the questions we need further input on are, is that turning radius really the factor for how far away from the property line a two-car garage could be placed on that side? And then the other question is, I guess, with the varying, what's the true cost of interfering with power. With saturated water like that and the main supply line, I know it's going to be an issue because running it through soil, it's right. going to be always full of water. But we have to find out. And then with the tandem option, whether with a 13-foot width tandem on that side, whether that suffices.
But let me ask you this, Ms. Houston. If you could construct it, do you have any interest in a tandem garage, or should we not waste our time with it?
I started pursuing a tandem, but again, I consulted three architects. They said that the edge of the garage would be on the property line. It would have to be on the property line. Because I don't know where the 1402 is, but they said it's 13 feet from the edge of the house to the property line. So it would take every inch right to the property line. Plus, I've got those power lines in the back, so that means that the front of the garage would be close to the sidewalk, because we cannot fit two cars. I mean, our car currently is probably 6 feet from the sidewalk, the two cars on the driveway where it is. So we would have a garage all the way to the sidewalk almost.
Yeah, but to be fair, I mean, you're not parking on the pad of where the garage used to be, and with the location of the power lines. I have to say, I keep saying hydro, and that's because I'm from Canada originally, so that's why it's confusing. I just wanted to tell you. So, you might be able to get back a bit further so that you're not as close to the front, but my guess is the front of a tandem would be in front of the front part of the house.
Yeah, it's been measured. It would have to stick out of the front of the house. Believe me, two and a half years trying every permutation to fit a garage.
Jerry, what would you like to say?
I think probably we need a few questions answered. So if we can enter and continue and then get those questions answered and then vote, that would be my suggestion. Is that doable? I mean,
oh yeah, we can do that.
Okay.
Okay, so let me summarize them, and we'll see if this is what we want. We are interested in having some estimate from ComEdison on their willingness to relocate the supply line above ground, and that cost, or the ability to bury it, and what that cost might be. I think that's the first question. And the second question, I think, is we would like some additional information on the what impact moving the proposed two-car garage closer to the house would have on the turning radius and the ability to access that garage. And the third information that I think we're talking about is some additional information on the construction of a tandem garage on the, got my directions all confused, on the other side of the house. And, you know, is that feasible? The northeast side of the house, is that feasible? And what variations might be required in order to, you know, for us to consider that. So, I mean, I think we have two choices tonight. We can either, if you want us to, we will make a recommendation to the Board of Trustees based on the information we have, or we will open the public portion of the hearing again and continue the hearing until we can gather this additional information that appears to be helpful in making the assessment as to whether the application as it's presented, if we're ready to vote on it. But it's really, it's up to you. You can tell us, you don't want to wait any longer, go ahead and vote tonight and send it to the Village Board, or you can say that you're willing to continue it.
Well, I'd like to have your questions answered.
I have tried to get concrete information from ComEd. Perhaps you have a way to get something more definite.
We're going to rely on Lisa and Cliff to try and get some information when they act on ask on behalf of the village instead of just on behalf of the
village. I mean, I actually asked Cliff if you had any contacts and comments that could help me.
Okay, what would you like us to do?
I would like you to have your questions answered. Okay. You can come up with a better solution.
So is that okay with everybody? So,
yes.
So we will.
And I also have a different question.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm missing page 4 and 5 or something. It says see note 2 and 3. I have that. And some
right,
of these
we'll
numbers
you,
don't
we'll
match
get
up.
You, we'll get you the application, the whatever you're missing.
Okay.
Okay. All right, so I guess to follow
to
our...
Certain?
Huh?
Do we need to continue
to follow
this
our advice,
certain?
we first should move to reopen the public portion of the hearing. Do we have a motion to do that?
I'll second that.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. So we reopen the public portion of the hearing. Then we should continue this to a date certain. Cliff, what do you think is reasonable to get the kind of information we're asking for?
Well, then let's make it to the next month, and then the regularly scheduled meeting for the next approved for March.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what?
All right, so we're going to
March.
Yep.
All right, so we should have a motion to continue this hearing until March 8th, which is the next regularly scheduled meeting of the Zoning Board of Appeals. So if we have a motion to continue it,
I'll make the motion.
And a second.
I'll second that.
All right. And everyone in favor, say aye.
Aye.
So it's unanimous. So we'll ask Cliff to get the information, to try and gather the information from Edison. But I think, and Cliff, is there any of this other information that you can get, or should we ask the applicant to provide?
Do you think we should prevail on DeWalt Hamilton to see if we can get something on this? Do you think that's...
We can contact the village's traffic consultant and ask them for some assistance. There may be some additional information that they need to complete their work, but yeah, we can ask them to do it.
All right, so that deals with the turning radius. And as far as the design of a tandem garage, we asked your architects to do that and submit that to us so they can at least show where the placement of it would be on that northeast side of your house.
I have preliminary drawings from that. Abandoned it because of...
Okay, so that's what... So we've defined the information that we want. We reopened the public hearing. We've continued the meeting. Any other comments?
I have one other question, and this is... So the front of the garage is aligned in the same plane as the rest of the house, right?
Yes.
So has there been any consideration to rotating the garage, which would ease that turning radius issue?
Actually, it would make it worse, I think. Because to line it with the property line would rotate even further, so it would be a bigger turn around that tree.
No, I'm not saying align it to the property line. I'm saying the opposite. Saying rotate it. If the house is here, currently it's parallel to the house, but over here, you rotated it this way so that the corner of the back corner of the building were closer to the house.
I understand. No, I think we thought it would.
Just because does it look straight? But.
Well, yeah, aesthetics. I mean, all the houses, because it's a funny shaped street, it just.
Right, and so it's a funny shaped street, and so all the houses are kind of different angles in here.
Yeah.
So if you have a house here and then a rotated garage here, that's not necessarily.
Well, that's just a suggestion of.
I'm just sort of saying that
you could propose that to us too.
We did, but it.
Okay. We have a motion to adjourn.
Motion.
Second. All in favor? Aye. We're adjourned. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
See you next month.